we go. The John Curley, Sherry Ellicker Show, and you along for the ride. Do love to hear whatever you can be chosen of the day, the letter of the day. The teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar picks it out and then says, this is it. This is the letter I like. Write to us at mynorthwest.com. Come on into that state roofing text line, 1-888-973-5476. Oh, look at this. We got a guest coming on. I hope he doesn't say, well, that was a very good question, Sherry.
Actually, it was a great question, Sherry.
Hold on. Diving in the news. All right. There we go. Yesterday, we talked about a piece that was in the Free Beacon. They were talking about how Seattle Fire Department, normally they ask a whole bunch of questions about structure fires and how the fire and how to put it out and that kind of stuff. Stuff that firemen need to know about, firefighters need to know about. But then it seems like the exam also has a whole bunch of social justice sort of stuff in there. So we thought we'd get a firefighter on. Andy Pittman, I think, was named, and he's in the piece there at the Free Beacon and joins us now. You are formerly from Seattle, but your firefighting skills are now, where are you now employed, Andy?
I'm a volunteer over in Port Angeles, Washington, and I was fired over the vax mandate.
They fired you over the vax mandate. Oh, gotcha. How are things in Port Angeles?
Much like over there, crazy. Still having lots of fires, but enjoying life.
Good. Okay. So let me ask you this. This isn't part of the Free Beacons piece, but how long had you been serving in the Seattle Fire Department before they hit you with the vax mandate?
6 years.
6 years, and they train you, hire you, you get all the experience, and then they say, okay, you got to get the shot. And did you apply for accommodation?
I did get a application in and followed all their rules for the religious exemption. It was granted, but they decided that they could not accommodate us, even though I was accommodated here locally.
I see. Okay. So away you went. In the piece, I assume you read the piece from the Free Beacon, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So was everything there to summarize? If somebody says, hey, Andy, I heard you're in this article. They say that from the piece, it seems that the fire department and human resources wants to make sure that the firefighters are well-versed not only in structure fires, but also in how to be an anti-racist and other social justice causes. Did they exaggerate anything in the piece, or did you start to notice how things are being laid out there by the human resources people?
No, it's very eloquently laid out in the Free Beacon piece, and it is accurate. The current lieutenant's test I did not take because I was fired, but I did take the one before that, which had the Ibram X. Kendi book in it. And there was definitely a disproportionate amount of tests focused on the agenda-related books rather than on merit. You know, equality doesn't mean equal outcomes. As an Alaska Native father of four, I thought that I'd have been given a fair and equitable process during the vax mandate, and instead I was abandoned by the chief and the union and the administration who's working so hard on these tests. You know, they worked harder to get these, you know, tests out in the fashion that they want rather than on the merit of the firefighters and the skills. They put more effort into that than they did trying to keep me employed and the, you know, almost 70 others that were fired over the mandate.
Andy, did you get any warning that there would be portions of this test having to do with race and other things, or was this sort of a sprung on you?
It's a great question, Sherry.
Okay, Andy.
Well done, Andy. Thank you.
I'm going to fire you right now, too. Go ahead.
We got to take that up with HR. So, yes, there is a bibliography that's assigned before the test. So we were given all of the books to read. But the race and gender and the equality books make up they're not very lengthy reads. And so when you're looking at this and going, okay, I've got to decide which books to spend most of my time on, I've got a book of 500 pages on tactics or on building construction, and then I've got a book from Ibram Kendi that's about, you know, 150, 200 pages. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on something that seems like would be more in the wheelhouse of human resources. So I'm going to focus my energy on building construction and tactics, and that's what most people did. But if they would have gone in and spent a good chunk of time on the agenda-related books, they probably would have had a better return on investment. And the sad thing is that, you know, merit doesn't know gender or race. Public safety mm-hmm. tests need to be based on merit and competency. And now that the pandemic and the mandate's over, they have not brought us back to our careers. And there was many of us that were fired over that. And a lot of those folks had put in, you know, some of them 20, 30 years. They have the merit, the skills, and the experience. And some of them were lieutenants or captains in the department that are now having to take the test. And what has changed is that so many people have left after the mandate because the culture there has taken such a shift as a result of this type of testing.
The idea of when they talked about Chief Goggin was saying that overwhelmingly the firefighters are white and male. So is that a problem?
No. Seattle's has always been a progressive fire department. You know, for me, I thought that, you know, as an Alaska Native father of 4 6 years on the job, I would have been the type of person that they fought to keep on during the mandate firings. And instead, Chief Scoggins and the union abandoned me. So, you know, currently social media is being bombarded by Seattle Fire Department saying they're looking for a certain type of individual. And it's like, wait, you just fired me. I am that demographic that you're looking to hire, so you say. So it's pretty hollow and empty words from my end. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely love that job. You know, some of the members I worked with in North Seattle, I was in the Northgate neighborhood at Station 31. You know, we make up all walks of life. We've had our challenges. And I worked with a gal there who probably outworks most of the white men that they're worried is making up too much of the fire department. And, you know, she continued to show up after I was fired, even though they kind of broke up her family.
Is this exclusive to Seattle, or did you find these same sorts of limitations or demands in Port Angeles as well?
No, the testing process here is a little bit different as a smaller department, but I've reached out to other large departments and similar departments across the country, and especially departments that have a largely blue demographic making up that city and running their departments. And they had nothing like this in their tests, whether it was New Haven, Connecticut, Houston. You know, those areas also went through vax mandates, 13 out of the 50 largest cities in the country. And none of them responded in the fashion that Seattle did. I mean, they essentially just slammed the door on us and didn't give us due process. Our union completely sold us out. And so when I reached out to see, like, are we the outlier or is this becoming the norm? Seattle is definitely the outlier in this testing.
We're talking to Andy Pippen. He's a former Seattle firefighter. So I know you've been in for 6 years. Did you notice they started sort of lowering the standards to try to get a better or more equal or equitable distribution of demographic? Did you used to have to carry 100 pounds upstairs? They dropped the weight down to try to get more people in that couldn't carry the weight, couldn't break the wall, all those other things. Were you part of that when they started changing the standards in order to try to get more women into the firefighting force?
Yes. So there's one particular drill that when I came in, I thought was of particular value, and it was called the Rescue Randy drill. And it wasn't feasible in the sense that, like, we're probably not going to encounter this at a fire. But what it did do was it tested the individual's heart. Like, a lot of people can get by as they're coming in through the department because we're made up in teams of four. And so you can kind of lean on your team if you're not strong enough. But the Rescue Randy was really the isolator on determining how much heart a person had. And John, you know, watching your cabin burn, like when you call 911 and you got something on fire, you don't really care what they look like, what their background is. You want performance and you want nothing but the best. And the Rescue Randy was taken away right after I came in, and they kind of toned it down and then they completely did away with it.
Did you notice when they change and make sure they get more people in that that couldn't pass a test prior. Is the cohesion of the unit, does it suffer at all to know that they kind of, they chose that person over this other person? They chose equity over merit. Does that affect how everybody gets along when you guys are in there making chili and playing air hockey? I'm just guessing that that's what happens when you're not fighting fires.
Well, I was at the busiest station in the city for a while, so we didn't get any air hockey, but we did try for a couple of games of pickleball.
Okay.
And yes, it does break down. And, you know, a little background on myself. I was raised in a small village in Alaska, less than 500 people. Like I said, I'm Alaska native. And so for me to get this job at Seattle, I thought, man, I really struck gold. And it kind of helps to paint the picture to my kids. Like, look, hey, you can go and do these things that you set your mind to. And in the back of my mind, I always thought, well, am I being hired because I'm a minority? But there was certain standards when I came in that I never failed a test in recruit school. So I was like, okay, there's other people failing this that are minorities and they're getting let go. So they're holding to their standards. So now I feel like I'm not being cherry picked because of my skin color or my background or the box that I checked. And then a few years after I came in, they started taking these standards away. And it's like, not only does it start to break at the crew cohesion, but what does that do for the psyche of the individual that's coming in and they thought they were being given a fair shot and now maybe they're being cherry picked or let in the door because of their skin color? I know for me, that erodes at my confidence.
Well, Andy, where do you think this pressure is mostly coming from? I mean, is there some movement afoot where women are demanding to be a part of the force or the fire department, or is it just part of a diversity and equity movement on the part of the city?
You know, with 6 years of experience there, I'm going to say it's definitely a wholesale city movement. When I got hired, the door was being beat down from across the country to get into Seattle. And as a result of them lowering their standards and creating this culture of, that Chief Scoggins is promoting this agenda over the mission, the numbers of people showing up is dwindled significantly. And when I applied, I went and took a free class that they offered. I did everything that captain said, and I was hired. And now you go in and you get these classes and there's representatives from different parts of the department. And they're all telling you they're this, like this big echo chamber of diversity and inclusion. And as we were being fired, you know, there was dozens of us and we're all applying for these exemptions and we found roadblocks in every single facet that we turned. And it's like, they just hit the eject button on us rather than let's be accommodating to you. And so based on my experience of getting fired, I'm going to say it's all across the city. And we've fought really hard since the mandate's been lifted to try to get back. And they're diverting us to other legs of the department, not even HR, but the Public Safety Civil Service Commission. And they're throwing up roadblocks there. And it's very frustrating.
So let me just change subject just quickly before we let you go, Andy. So did you ever get the vaccine?
Never.
You never got it. Did you get COVID?
No, I had COVID and I showed up to work the entire time, you know, just like everybody else did. And worked all through COVID, didn't have the shot. Saw absolutely no need for it, being as I had prior infection.
So when they were going to, I don't think they call it firing, what do they call it, separating or something like that. So how long did you think about it? You had a discussion with your wife, your kids, because it was basically either take this experimental chemical into your body or you will lose your job. Did you think long and hard? And what analysis did you come to or what data did you look at?
It's funny you worded it like that because the way you worded it was almost threatening. It's like you do this or you do that. And almost every single email that all of us got from the city of Seattle and the fire department was worded almost verbatim of what you said. There was no discussion. There was no back and forth. So when I went to my wife, there wasn't a lot of discussion either because we're living our life based on a moral compass that doesn't really change. We have our set values, we have our religious beliefs, and we're not going to waver. And if it means selling out my morals to keep my job, then I have to believe that God's going to take care of me in a different line of work, which he has. And so we transitioned into being a volunteer firefighter that covers, you know, the neighborhood I live in. I do tree work with my business, North Star Earthworks. But in the process, we had, there was a study that was published about 2 weeks before the mandate was announced. And it was by King County Medic One, Dr. Sayer, a bunch of local stakeholders in COVID in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And what it was how effective has Seattle's response been to COVID with our personal protective equipment? And what they found was that there was only one transmission that they could trace in all of the data points. And so what we were doing, which wasn't new, it'd been around since the avian flu in Canada when they had the big outbreak, it was really effective. And not only was it really effective, but there was a significant amount of buy-in in the members of Seattle Fire Department that were properly employing it that we didn't have any issues. So we're like, okay, let's just continue on with this. We offer daily testing. We offer all these things. And they said, absolutely not. We can't do that. And then a month after we were fired, they gave out free tests to everybody that was still at the department.
Wow. Well, listen, one more plug for your business.
So if you need trees climbed, cut down, land clearing, excavation, I travel all over North Star Earthworks. And if you're not in the tree removal business, I got a good buddy. He's got some coffee. You can order online, Untamed Coffee.
Oh, wow. A little bit of everything.
Double,
that's great.
Double. Any, double plug.
Very there quickly, Andy, any advice for someone who allegedly also wants to become a volunteer firefighter?
Okay, here we go.
Absolutely. find a ride along and go out and do it. A lot of people say that they join because they want to help people. I disagree. You can be a social worker. You can do a lot of things if you want to help people. We're in the business of saving lives. But I think one of the most exciting parts about it is you get to drive lights and sirens and run red lights. That's why I wanted to join.
Thank you for being honest.
Well, I'm going to practice on my own with my own car. All right, Andy Pittman, thank you. Former Seattle firefighter. Highlighted in a piece from Free Beacon talking about just not enough to know about how to put out fires, but you have to know how to be an anti-racist. Thank you, Andy. Good luck with those trees. Yeah. All right. Appreciate it. Oh, here we go. Tickets still available for the Mariners game, by the way. Mariners, taking on an opposing team, and tickets still available. Rod got kicked out the other day.
Did he get into another argument with a fan?
No, his buddy did. Was screaming. His buddy loves Pittsburgh. Was screaming and yelling at this guy next to him about how great Pittsburgh is. And then the security came down and kicked them both out.
And then by association.
Yes. So then Rye went outside. It was the sixth inning for the Mariners. And he picked up a couple of cheap tickets for like $4 a piece at that point, and then went back in and sat back down in his seats that he was originally seated in.
Do you want
it's
any,
one way to do it?
Yeah. Do you also want any of the accurate information about the game?
Jeez, tickets still available, I'm sure, for the game's coming up. Mariners.
Okay. Yankees.
Go ahead.
Playing Yankees.
Much hated Yankees.
And an
Yankees
hour from
suck.
Now.
An hour from now. Duran Duran's going to be there as well. Tickets still available. All right. All right. As a frequent parker at SeaTac Airport, I just always steal my spine when I walk off the plane and I head over to that place where you're supposed to pay and then, you know, hold ticket 3 inches from scanner, and then it beep, 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 then you remove your credit card, and then you remove, then you take out a second mortgage as the thing spits out $185 or $208 or something for how long you park there. And now the news is that SeaTac Airport parking is going up what percent?
30% to $8 an hour.
Hold on, I'm not finished. Ah! Go ahead.
Premium parking, $10 an hour. So the weekly parking is going up to, I think, $169 from $122. And,
weekly parking jumps from $169 to $222.
$222, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And they say that this will help support ongoing garage maintenance. Inflation, tax increases are part of the reason to do this. And they'll use this for upgrades and more technology, I guess, to get people parking spaces. And that's their reason for doing it all.
Mm-hmm. And let's remember the headline from CBS News at the beginning of the year that congratulations, SeaTac now has the highest minimum wage in the country. So when people say, oh, it's good. Yeah, minimum wage is great. Okay, yeah. Well, you're paying for it. So if it costs more for labor, labor is a price and price is a cost. So if you have the highest minimum wage in the country, we all have to pay that. And we pay that by having additional costs upon us. And also SeaTac got a bit of a problem because they were going to build 20 new gates. And for these big, big airliners, this was for the international, the 777, the 360s, these big, big planes, the big gates, they spent, I don't know how much money. And then they had to spend, I don't know how much more money when it went way over budget. And then when they finally did the measurements, they realized, oops, some of the gates are not big enough for the big, big planes. This is a big, big problem. So they are suing Clark Construction. Clark Construction turn around and suing SeaTac, saying you still owe us $60 million. SeaTac is turning around. You didn't build what we wanted you to build. So now it's going to be going to court in December to settle this. So that's maybe some of the reason you're also paying more for parking, because they've got a bit of a problem when it comes to managing their budgets over there. But, man, I'll tell you, they're improving the construction of the parking lot. That's part of it as well.
Yeah, I mean, they're saying that, you know, the garage needs maintenance and this will help with that. They want to maintain fair market rates, support ongoing garage maintenance and customer service investments, and keep pace with inflation and local tax increases.
What is fair market rates? Fair markets for what? For what other people paying to park at a garage?
Well, I know at BWI, the Baltimore Washington International Airport, it's $12 an hour. So, I think they're saying that they were probably below the norm and they want to keep up with what is the going rate for parking at an airport.
Right. I guess the thing, people will park in those shuttle lots and then get shuttled on over to the thing. And that's one way to save money on it, or just have a friend drop you off at the airport. Oh, that's getting harder and harder to do.
Yeah. You have to pay them on
the airport. Nobody wants to drive you to the airport anymore. And then the other thing is I'll pick you up. To me, if you go on a plane, like Nick's supposed to pick me up at the airport. And I'm always like, okay, I arrive at 4. I'll be the first one off. I'll be right out front at 4:10. I'm going to zip right through that airport. And I text her, where are you? Oh, I'm on my way. Huh? Huh? On my way? Another half hour, 40 minutes? I'm rolling on in there, flash the high beams, go running over. To me, it's like, if you're going to pick somebody up, out of courtesy, I think you should just be there when they're there. That's what you just time it right. You go into that waiting lot, and then you come right around and right there. It's a way of saying, hey, glad you're back. Right?
Right. Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Because
not,
the last thing you want to do.
Not the 35-minute wait for the person who left late to come get you. Where are all the tears and joy at the airport? That's what I always look for. Whenever I drop Nick off, I always sing that song, Bluer Than Blue. Or I yell out, no tears, or I act like I'm crying when I'm dropping her off, just to kind of put a little show on for everybody.
No, you don't. You don't do any of that.
Oh, really?
Oh, here we go. Let's hear your version of it.
Well, it's going to be a little behind the music.
Okay.
After you go,
I have a lot more
time for reading. Or closet. You go.
Stay out all night long.
If I had you like my best part.
And when
you're gone,
I can run
to the house screaming.
And no one
no one's gonna hear me.
really should be sad,
but I'm bluer than blue.
Saturday, I rest my case. You can't sing it because you don't know the words. Yeah. So there's no way you could sing it.
Empty room has ever had. Life without you, it's gonna be bluer than TV shows. I can change my whole life over. Change the number on my telephone.
Don't tell me I don't know these words.
You don't know most of
them. Bluer than blue, sadder than sad.
Best line is, I can run through the house screaming and no one will ever hear me. That's one of the reasons to be alone. Just run through the house screaming. What's wrong with that guy?
I know, right? Because everybody does that.
The minute
I'm alone, the first thing I do is just take off screaming through the house.
Run through the house screaming. No one will ever hear me. Yeah. The person leaves, going to catch up on his reading, have a lot more time for his sleep, be a lot more room in my closet. Hey, I got all the lyrics. No, I sing that all the time. It's really weird that people at SeaTac don't know that song. I don't think they're going to join in with me and like do one of those flash mobs.
You just got to teach them a little bit more. If you do it enough times, they'll catch on. And
all
if
right,
you learn the words.
Do it every day at this time. Here we go, Sherry. Teeny Tiny Lady shows in the letter of the day. Here comes the mailman now. Oh, wait a minute. Mariners taking on the Yankees, trying to even it up. George Kirby on the mound for the M's. His 90-mile-an-hour sinker is not to be messed with. He got a little roughed up last game, but he's going to try to make it up with him. George Kirby on the mound for the Mariners. Tickets still available. There you go. How's that, huh? Where's Aaron? Huh? Aaron? Did Aaron hear any of that?
Yeah, he's wandered off.
Okay. Here comes the mailman now. Wanders off? In the middle of the show?
He's done
his thing. Put him in the book. Put him in the book, Andrew. Okay, in the book. Thank you. I never put Andrew in the book before, or Aaron in the book before. All right, we'll get the letter of the day first. Take care of all the rest. Sherry?
Okay, Amazon walkout, area code 425, says, don't like it. Go to work somewhere else.
509. Bezos is going through a midlife crisis right now. Those workers need to lay off him and let him work things out. Midlife crisis. He's going to marry that good-looking girlfriend of his there, huh? That's midlife?
Yeah.
Okay. What?
But she's kind of midlife too. So, area code 206. It's not 1993. Most work can and should be done off-site. If the production doesn't change, why would you need to come in? Control. That's why.
Al Pacino 253. John saying Al Pacino's wife was younger than all his kids combined was hilarious. I love getting my dopamine hit from the show. Okay. All right. Thank you.
John's technical difficulties. Aaron in the 360.
Yes.
So if it's any consolation, John, whenever you go dark, I chant to myself, John is the best never rest. John is the best never rest.
And see, it works, Aaron. Thank you. And I come back on. Hot takes, Michelle, 425. I'd like to request that Jacob's come before the hot takes.
Logistically, we don't know when they're coming. So I'd have to, sorry, Michelle.
Yeah, but you could record.
No, you can still do it.
And then play them both.
Yeah, Michelle's asking this. She's in the 425.
But before the hot take, I don't know when you're going to say them.
No, but if recorded you, then he could play your hot take.
Okay, yes.
Yes.
And then the other
that.
One.
Got it.
Michelle, it's done. You see how we work that through. Dinner parties, 425. Should the attendees charge the host for the gas they spent to drive there?
Travis in Bonnie Lake says, it's rude to invite somebody over to a party, then charge them for that. What's not rude is to say, hey, I would like to have a potluck.
That's potluck, yeah. Lori 206 says, what do you think about splitting the restaurant bill by the number of people, regardless of the individual cost of each meal and drink? I couldn't believe it, considering I drank water and was stuck splitting the bill with everyone's expense. Wait, hold on. Lori, you drank water while everyone else sat around eating?
I think she's just talking about
the drink,
her beverage. Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
she still ate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Got it. Mm-hmm. All right.
Target and Bud Light, Trevor in the 206, mm-hmm. Anheuser-Busch has been putting out gay-friendly promotional merchandise for a few decades. Nobody yes. in when they were giving away free LGBT T-shirts or banners or selling merchandise for bars across the country 20 years ago because it wasn't on TikTok.
Yeah. That was really a productive segment, wasn't it?
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
Here we go. Thank you, Teenie.
Okay.
God love you. God love you, Teenie. I'm sorry. Sure, go ahead.
Okay. 509 says, for our wedding, we overestimated the wine-to-guest ratio and bought way too much wine. So at the end of the night, we were just handing out bottles out as guests left. A couple people did actually stick them down their pants for some strange reason. Weird.
How many, though, for 509? That's Andrew's question.
Play the radio.
More than four or five, apparently, is the only is the issue.
Sticking them down their pants. Only with the red wine. Don't do it with the white wine, okay. Because it needs to be chilled.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? I say we do another one. You want to try another one?
Yeah.
We worked out all the bumps and everything else. So get ready with your push, Jacob, okay?
All right.
All right. Here we go.